Morning. Oh, come on now. I'm like a hype guy. Good morning. So, how was everybody's turkey week? I call it turkey week because nobody ever just does one. It seems like everybody does two or three of these meals throughout the week. Thanksgiving Day is actually stretched over 3 or 4 days. And we all get to celebrate this amazing Thanksgiving multiple times. And many of us understand what that does to our girlish figures during this week. And I hope you all had as great a Thanksgiving week as I did. It was just awesome being around family and friends and getting to spend time together and being thankful for the many things we've been given. Today, Dave has asked me to come up and speak on the topic of making disciples. And I got to be honest, I'm impressed because over the last few weeks, Dave has allowed Rob Esposito to preach last week, me to preach this week, and Rob Harlemer is going to preach the next week. Most preachers won't give up their pulpits that easily, but then reality kicked in, and I realized that this is hunting season, and David needed a couple weeks off. So that's how we get to preach around here. But also, what Dave didn't realize is when he got his first deer this year, Adam Tipton was actually hiding with a camera, and he videoed Dave getting his first deer. So you guys got to watch this. This is pretty impressive. He got it. I mean, right? So, great job, man. But as excited as Dave is to get a deer of his own, I'm going to show you a picture here that Dave's about 1,000% more excited about. That's his son Sam getting his first buck. So the funny thing is, Dave, you know, we see that and all we think of is, wow, that's awesome that Dave's teaching his son how to deer hunt. But I want to say that this is discipleship that was happening this week. This was Dave taking something that he's passionate about and instilling it in his son. Dave loves to go deer hunting. He loves being outdoors. The Kibler family loves to eat venison. So he was instilling this into Sam. He was showing Sam a skill that's not only going to help him as he matures as an adult, but he's also teaching him how to respect firearms. He's teaching him how to use them properly. He's trying to raise a respectable adult. This whole series that we're in right now is entitled The Great Commission. It's taken from Matthew 28, 19, and 20, and it says this, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Rob already said it earlier in the service, but today's main thing is God calls all disciples to make disciples. He doesn't call a couple disciples to make disciples. He doesn't call the ministers of the church to make disciples. He calls all disciples to make disciples. Last week, Rob Esposito taught us all how we're supposed to go every day and how we need to use our skills to win people to Christ. Today, I want to let you know that going is just the start. If going was all we were supposed to do, we'd see a lot of new Christians burn out. And they would never really see all that the Christian life has to offer, but if you think about it, that's actually happening a lot, isn't it? People come to Christ and then they kind of fizzle out. And just by a show of hands, how many of you know somebody who came to Christ and they've not been in a church in years? I would dare say that's because we confuse a couple different terms. I think it's because we confuse evangelism and discipleship. See, let me say again, we confuse evangelism and discipleship. Now, some of you are going, okay, I know what those are. And some of you are going, I don't even know what either one of those words mean. So let me explain what I mean by this. Evangelism is bringing people to the gospel, literally bringing them to Christ, showing them the word, and leading them to a relationship with God, while discipleship is walking people through the gospel, actually going through life with them. See, the purpose of evangelism is simply to bring someone to Christ and help them come to a relationship with Him. It's exactly what Rob was talking about last week. You plant the seed, you water it, you give it the right sunlight, you hope it grows into something beautiful. However, if you neglect it, after it's grown, you're guaranteed it's going to die. It needs continued care. See, discipleship is that. It's caring for it once it's grown from a seed, giving it the nourishment it needs. And I did say nourishment in a sentence, which outside of prayer, nobody uses the word nourishment. Have you ever noticed that? People pray, help this to nourish our bodies. We don't ever say nourish except when we pray, am I right? Have you heard that? Okay, anyways. So, I have ADD, okay? You just have to deal with that. Discipleship is caring for the plant when it's grown, giving it the nourishment it needs. That can't happen without attention, time, and care. Those three things are necessary for a disciple to grow. But there's one catch. One catch. You cannot disciple a non-Christian. It's impossible. In the same way, you can't raise a child without a child. You can't disciple someone who's not a disciple. As a matter of fact, I would say that discipling, it's a lot like raising children. Just like you saw with Dave and Sam at the beginning of this message, you don't just raise a child, you disciple them. They pick up on your best and your worst traits. They see everything, and they're constantly learning. They're like sponges. Now, I'm not going to ask for volunteers on this, but how many of you have heard certain words come out of your child's mouth that they might have heard come out of yours? We actually have a hand raised back there. you're not supposed to do that. It's not all bad, though, right? I mean, they pick up on our traits. Sometimes you see a kid react the way we would react to things. If we're someone who gets upset really quick, we notice that our child gets upset really quick. They pick up on everything, but not everything is bad. As a matter of fact, this generation's high schoolers and college students, they picked up on a trait from their parents that's wonderful. They love 80s metal. Yes. It's a fantastic, fantastic generation we have going right now. I mean, there was a student on stage playing bass with a Def Leppard t-shirt on. It's like, I love this generation. But seriously, though, your kids display what they learn. If you aren't spending enough time with your kids, they'll learn from someone else. This is why discipleship is so important. See, we are the direct line from Jesus to his disciples, and that's exactly how it's designed to be. It's exactly how Jesus himself lived this out with his disciples. There are four stages of human beings: infants and toddlers, children, adolescents, and adults. Each stage carries with it points of growth. Infants, they learn how to walk, communicate, how to use their bodies. Children start to learn how to exist within a community, as well as they gain knowledge by the truckload. Adolescents, they start to learn responsibility. They take on their first jobs. They begin relationships that are more than just friends. And they start to think about their future. Adults are now on their own. They begin careers. They start raising families. And they plan for their final days, setting up their family to receive their inheritance. These stages are exactly the same as the stages in discipleship. The first of these stages, infants and toddlers. When a lost person first comes to Christ, they don't know how to study the Bible. They don't understand church words like nourishment. They're having to learn for the first time how to make the right decisions at key moments in their lives. See, this is a critical time in the life of a believer, and it's all the further that many get because no one is there to walk them through this new life. When my son was born, he couldn't hold his own head up to eat, much less walk or talk. So why then do we heap huge expectations on a new believer to get it all right, yet rarely walk alongside of them in this new journey they're on? 1 Corinthians 3:1 and 2 says, "Brothers and sisters, I cannot address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready." New believers need instruction on some things that a seasoned believer might just find as common sense. They don't pick up on things because this is all so new. I never thought the phrase, "don't kick your brother" or "don't sit on your brother's head" would be things I would have to say to my daughter. That's common sense. But yet that's the very things that my daughter does to my son. He's an infant, she's a toddler. I get to go through all of this at one time. But these are things I have to say. And thing about infants and toddlers is simply that they just don't know. They don't understand that this is how this works. This is how this works. These are things you're supposed to say, things you're not supposed to say. This is how you open the Bible and read it. They don't know these things. Another thing about infants and toddlers, they wander everywhere for no known reason. My daughter Ellie will walk in random patterns with no real destination in mind. She just kind of carelessly walks around and sings. And in order for me to get her in the right direction, I either have to hold her hand and guide her, or literally take her shoulders and turn her where she needs to walk, or she doesn't get where she needs to go. New believers need this kind of help. They're new in their beliefs. They're trying to figure out which way to go. And sometimes it can look like carelessly walking in random patterns, but they just don't know where they're supposed to go. Discipleship grabs a young disciple by the shoulders and points them in the right direction. How about this? How awesome would it be if every time a new believer was baptized, we paired them up with a seasoned believer who could point them in the right direction? What if we could have people in this church who were willing to pour into these new spiritual infants? See, without discipleship, most young believers won't make it. They just won't make it because they don't have the guidance they need. The next life cycle in the disciple's life is when they move from being an infant or a toddler into being a child. Children have now learned to communicate, sometimes too much. They have a larger vocabulary. They're learning sponges. They're picking up everything. They begin to emulate their parents and other adult figures in their lives. Hebrews 6:1 says, "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken into maturity." It's pretty amazing watching a child begin to just kind of learn how to do some things. They start dressing themselves. Sometimes that's kind of fun to watch anyways. They pick out their own clothes. They start building relationships and friendships, actual friendships that might be there for the rest of their lives. They know right from wrong, and they struggle with which one to follow. Yet even though they're maturing, they still need guidance. There's a reason the driving age is 16 and not 6. Children are selfish creatures. They see their needs, and they want them taken care of by somebody else. They're capable of a lot, but their bodies are still developing and growing, making them rather awkward at times. Now, in this stage of a disciple's life, they're learning how to feed themselves, how to correctly study God's word. They're learning how to clothe themselves with Christ and emulate him in their daily lives. And this is a time of major growth in a disciple's life, and it's one that still needs discipling. You don't tell your child, "Well, you learn how to dress yourselves, and you make a fantastic bowl of cornflakes. Go get yourself a job, find your own place to live, and good luck." Imagine the terror on a 5-year-old's face being told that by their parents. Yet that's the same face you're going to get from a new believer if you try and thrust them into leadership too soon. You try and make them lead a community group or a Bible study. Have them direct a ministry. Just because someone's been a believer for a few months or even a couple years doesn't mean they're ready to move into that kind of a role in the church yet. We have to bring people up. We have to understand where they are in their journey and bring them up. The next stage of development in a disciple's life is where we start to see some serious maturity take hold, and that's in the adolescent years. Romans 12:1-2 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." The adolescent is now beginning to make wiser choices, you hope. They're getting their first jobs. They've dipped their toes into the choppy waters of high school dating. They're beginning to see what it is they want to be in the next step of their lives, choosing colleges, trade schools, deciding where they would like to live, and the kind of person they would like to live life with. This is a big time, and they're trying to figure out what God's will is in their life. This is very much the same as the adolescent believer. They're now starting to serve in the church. They're beginning to share their faith with others, They may be looking for other believers as spiritual heroes or mentors to model themselves after. Unfortunately, this is where most believers stay. They stagnate here simply because it's much easier than becoming an adult. This isn't a whole lot different than teens today who tend to stay home with their parents much longer than they did years ago. Many young men and women are still living with their parents in their late 20s and even into their 30s, unwilling to go out on their own and make a life for themselves. Staying under the care of their parents is safe and it's easy. See, this is vital. This time period is a vital and potentially dangerous place for a disciple. This is where the rubber meets the road, and they decide if they'll ever jump into spiritual adulthood or stay right where they are. The guidance of a discipler is paramount at this point in a disciple's life, which takes us to the fourth part of this life cycle, and that's adulthood. See, the adult disciple has now stepped into the role of disciple maker. They're no longer just being discipled, they're making disciples, and they're discipling others. They're now passing on what they learned into several others. They aren't perfect, but they know their mission, and they know it is vital for the church and for the church's future. They're handholders, they're compasses, they're decision makers. They see someone who needs discipling, and they waste no time in stepping into that relationship to help a young disciple thrive. There are many in here today that are doing this very thing, and there are many in this room who should be doing this very thing. The only thing I can tell you is, don't be selfish with your faith. It's not yours to hold on to. It's yours to share. And if you aren't doing it, you're being unfaithful. There isn't an option here. It's a mandate, and it's one that we need to take seriously. See, without disciple makers, disciples never mature. Without disciple makers, disciples disappear. And without disciple makers, this church will die. Let me say this to all of us, and myself included, because I can't finish today without saying it. If you think you don't need to be discipled and you aren't discipling someone, you're lying to yourself. You're simply lying to yourself. When Jesus said the Great Commission, he commanded for all of us to make disciples. In the book, The Death of Discipleship, Jim Putman and Chad Harrington write this: if becoming mature in Christ is about learning to be loved and how to love others well, one thing in Scripture gets in the way of that more than anything else: the great enemy of pride. They continue, pride whispers lies into our ears and thoughts. Others exist for me, to serve me. I don't need to be led. I'm a good leader on my own. I don't need to listen to you because I'm smarter than you. I can't trust you to lead me because you don't care about me the way I care about me. See, the very thing that can take a disciple backwards is this idea that they can't be led, all the while refusing to lead others. Pride is a very dangerous thing. One of the most frustrating things I've ever heard in my lifetime comes from some amazing people that I love. And it's this statement: I've done my time. I've met a lot of older Christians in churches past that when I ask them to serve in something, they say, well, I've done my time. I don't know about you, but this doesn't sound like the statement of someone in love with Christ and his church. This sounds like someone who just got out of prison. This sounds like someone who finally is free of having to serve Christ, as opposed to someone who longs to serve Christ. And if we feel like we're in prison, we aren't going to go all out to lead, teach, and nurture those who are trying to grow in their faith. Instead, we're going to do the least that we can do to ensure we get ours. And I don't believe that's what God called us to. You see, there's almost 200 people in this room right now. Of those seated in here, there are about 50 who are or should be active disciplers, making disciples. I want you to take advantage of an amazing opportunity. I want you to lock arms with others who challenge you, that you can challenge. Push each other. Guide each other. Love each other. I've asked some friends of mine to come up here with me this morning. I want you guys to come on up. Discipleship isn't just about you pouring into somebody. It's about your willingness to be poured into. And if you aren't willing to be poured into, you're missing out on a big part of this. I just asked these guys to come up here today. These guys right here are some of my best friends in the world. These are guys I care about greatly. These are guys I would go to war for. We've had some serious spiritual conversations. We've been on road trips. We've gone on hiking trails. We've gone and watched football games. We've laughed like crazy people. Whether we realize it or not, we've been actively discipling each other for years. I would go to hell and back for these guys. And I think they do the same for me. Also, with this crew, I'd take on anybody in Red Rover. Because some big boys up here. But that's good. See, by myself, I can do all right. By myself, I can do all right. But when I surround myself with others who I can lock arms with, I can get so much more accomplished. By locking arms with others, defeat is something you may never have to face again. But you have to be willing to be discipled and disciple others. Thanks a lot, guys. See, as a man, I'm not crazy about holding other men's hands. Not my thing. I don't like prayer circles. I'm not that guy that enjoys in a church service when they're like, grab the hands of the person across the aisle from you. Not my thing. But I'll lock arms with people any day. I'll lock arms with people any day. It's strength. It's brotherhood. It's what discipleship should look like. See, who are you locking arms with? Who are you living life with? The first days of the church were all about this kind of Christianity, and they thrived because of it. Do you merely want to get by and miss out on the real meat of faith? Or do you want that? Are you an infant? Are you a child, an adolescent, or an adult? It's time to step up and step out. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Never be satisfied with where you are. Realize as a disciple, we're always trying to go the next step. Work towards it. The church was told to go, and the church was told to make disciples. When we start to get this into focus, the church becomes the very thing that it was designed to be, the living, breathing bride of Christ who brings hope and light to a very dark world. And the people who make her up are raising up the next generation to carry that torch as well. Church, let us be known not for the causes that we fight against, but for the disciples we're willing to fight for. Let us be light. Let us be community. Let us be disciplers. Let us be the church. Because God called all disciples to make disciples. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for showing us in your word and through the life of your own son exactly how we're supposed to interact with one another, how we are supposed to lead each other, how we're supposed to guide each other. Father, we know that the journey of a disciple is not simple. It's not something that is easy. It's not something that's quick. It's something that takes years. But it's also something that takes help. Father, I pray that all of us in here understand that for the church to be what the church needs to be, we all need to be active disciplers. People who are reaching out, other believers, helping guide this journey. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for everything you've given us. Father, we pray as we go into worship that we are going into it with a heart that wants nothing more than to experience you today. Father, we love you. We thank you for your son, and we pray this all in his name.